Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
You know, we often talk about how to become a Christian, and that's very worthy of our time for us to rehearse over and over again of how to become a believer. And so we try to do that often here. As a matter of fact, at the most every service at the end, you will see a slide go up about how to ask Christ into your life. And I believe that's very important. But we also need to talk about what it's like and how do you act? What is the life of a Christian? It's more than just being redeemed and waiting for heaven. I'm very thankful to walk my life out as a believer. I see a few head nods. Yeah. Well, over the next couple Sundays, I don't know how long this will last. I'm just listening to the Spirit of the Lord, or trying to my very best. I want to talk about each Sunday a particular theme or aspect of our Christian lives. And this first one, I know it excites everybody when you start talking about giving. Oh. Just relax. I want you to realize this morning, and I'm going to try to bend this as much as I possibly can to help you to realize that giving is an attitude more than an act. Let me say it one more time. Giving is an attitude more than an act. You get the attitude of giving going in your life, and the rest of it just seems to flow. I want to read to you this passage from the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, but I'm going to do it this morning from the Message. The Message is a transliteration. It is not actually a translation of the Bible. Eugene Peterson wrote this, and it is in some places kind of an expansion of Scripture, and in other places it brings it together in a modern language. So if you kind of follow along in your Bibles, I can't give you actual verses because he doesn't align it in that way, but it gives us another little perspective on this passage of giving. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse number 6. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us a great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgiving to God. This relief offering is a good prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain message of the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, His gift. No language can praise it enough. Interesting way of putting this marvelous passage. George Sweeting, who is the former pastor many years ago of Moody Bible Church, wrote, "When we come to the end of life, the question will be, how much have you given? Not how much have you gotten?" I think that's very true. Coming to an understanding that one of the key principles of being a Christian is having an attitude of giving. And again, I ask this morning and I pray that you will not get stuck on money, because the heart of giving goes way past money. Sometimes it is easier to throw money at something than it is to give of yourself. So we need to have and allow the Holy Spirit to shape that attitude within us, a giving attitude that releases freely. Yeah. Yeah, again, it's really easy for us to collect our pile and stand on top of it. Be king of our own little mountain. What happens in your heart when you see someone in need? This is one of the check places for us as believers. Does it pull on your heart when you see someone in need, or do you immediately go to the negative? You drive through Bloomington and many of the cities anymore, and there's someone standing on just about every corner with a sign in their hand proclaiming their different levels of need. And we all know the stories, we all know the things, you know, that these individuals all dump the money into different things. Oh my goodness, all the stories. A long time ago, I was pastoring a church on US 52, which is a national highway. And there's a number of transient folks that travel those highways. And so pretty much whenever they come across the church, they stop. So there were times that I literally had lines out the door of people. And I realized, well, just truthfully, that a lot of them were lying. I mean, you could tell it all over them, not just even the Spirit of the Lord is shouting, this is a lie. And I really had to come to grips with, what are you going to do with that? The first inclination is, that's it, I'm not going to give. Because it's all just fakery. Or people wanting something free and not working. So easy to fall into that mode when you see somebody who expresses a need, whether by sign or by telling the need, that you want to give them the solution. Well, you just need to get to work, or you just need to do this, or you need to do that. And I have found in my own heart, in my own life, that really that's not the question. Whether they are legitimate or not, whether they're deserving or they're not, really is not the question that needs to be going on inside of me. Inside of me is, am I a giver or am I a taker, a receiver? And you find that as you work on that portion inside of you, that everything starts changing a bit. I can't tell you how many people that I have, they started telling me their story, and I just stopped them. to simply say, I want to give to you in the name of the Lord. I don't need your story. To just lift the load of them lying off to add another sin, another transgression onto their life because it was not necessary for them to do that in order to prompt me to give. See, it has to do with what's going on in my heart, even more than their heart. You follow what I'm saying? Again, it's so easy because so many of them we know that it's false. So many people that express a need, whether it be a financial need or whatever it may be, we start looking around the edges for the truth. But the real truth is settled inside of us. Remember, Christian means Christ-like. I am a Christian. You think of how many people came to Christ with who knows what kind of story. And he healed them, he ministered to them, he delivered them. Well, you know, we know the story. 10 lepers come to Jesus. He gives them a proclamation of healing and sends them on their way, and only one of them returned to give thanks. Huh? What did that say about the other 9? See, their motives were all off, but Jesus ministered to all of them. Sitting on a hillside, thousands of people. There had to be a lot of hypocrites there. I'm sure that there were liars there. There were cheats and scoundrels there. Jesus fed them all. He didn't say, okay, now all the legitimate, those with legitimate need, I'd like for you to sit over here in these groups, and those of you that are a bunch of scoundrels, I'd like for you to sit over here. And if you don't know which one you are, I'll pick you out. Huh? No. He said to his disciples, here, I'll break the bread, I'll give it to you, you take it to them, and they'll eat all that they can. And he ministered to them. Why? Because Jesus was a giver. I'll tell you something, and I mean this with all my heart. You do not make a decision on a Sunday morning to be a giver. You will have to train yourself. Because if you haven't noticed, we are living in a world today that is not promoting a giving nature, but a taking nature. Get in front of somebody with your car that they think that's their space. Huh? Or in many places, sit and try to get out onto the street. Me first. Maybe you can get in behind me. Huh? We're living in a world with an attitude that is a taker attitude rather than a giver attitude. Don't you think that we as Christians should be putting on a display of Christ-likeness that shows them how to give? Now, see, here's another piece that I don't think that maybe we discount. Giving in itself does not have a dollar figure or an amount to it. So, see, sometimes we cut off our giving nature because we think, I don't have enough to give. In fact, that is another excuse to stay on top of our heap. Because giving does not necessarily have an amount to it. I'll give when I. No, you won't. Because it's about the heart. So I'm going to take you through this, some things this morning, if you will, a biblical look at giving. Now, most of these this morning are going to talk about the financial aspect, but I want to try, and we'll see if we can accomplish this, I'm going to try to move those on over or expand upon those in terms of just having a giving nature, because that's the direction the Holy Spirit is leading me today. We're going to talk about the mandate, the model, and the manner of giving. I didn't use the screen today because it's each word pretty simple. The first is the mandate, and you know many of these. From the Old Testament, we read scriptures like Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Notice that. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, all too often, folks, you know, we have needs ourselves. And again, I'm not just talking about financial needs. I'm talking about emotional needs. We're discouraged. We're defeated. We're broken down. We're hurting. All of these things. But hear this. If there's a giver nature inside of you, even though you may be hurting, you want to refresh someone else. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Learning this lesson, if you will, of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Huh? So even on those times where we are discouraged and distressed and we are down, a giving heart says when we see someone else who is struggling, oh, you just wouldn't believe what I'm going through. Hello? But rather, hey, better days are ahead. Let me encourage you. You're such a special person. I love being around you because you always lift me up. Thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you are to the kingdom of God and to me. Huh? He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That goes contrary to what goes on in our minds where we say, well, if I could just feel the encouragement of the Lord, I would encourage others. Not the way it works. Within the life of Christ, it is give and you shall receive. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed. Here it is again. For he shares his food with the poor. Isaiah 58:10, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Again, see, oh, well, I better give so that I can get. You missed it. Honestly, because it is about having a heart that gives, a heart that encourages, a heart that strengthens, a heart that wants to be there for other people that are hurting, realizing that God then will take care of you. Come on. Is it this biblical? Well, how about the New Testament? Jesus said, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is spectacular. But what he's not saying is, give so that you can get. That is a theology that has made its way and run through the church that says, no, you know, you give so that you can get. All that is another layer of stinginess and self-awareness. But to have the heart that desires to give, the only dilemma that a Christian should face when it comes to giving is how much is enough. Not whether we should give. That should be settled deep within our hearts that we would give at every opportunity to give. The only discussion that would go on in us is how much can I give? Matthew 10 and 8, Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, and here's the kicker. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, I think that is the greatest phrase of a motivator for witnessing that exists in the New Testament. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, because this affects our witness. We get settled in ourselves and we tell ourselves, well, I'm not an outgoing person, you know, so that I don't do that. Well, praise God that somebody was that came along and gave you the witness so that you could come to know Christ. Huh? I'm so thankful for the givers who have given spiritual blessing in my life over a lifetime. How many have somebody that prays for them all the time? You know that every single day that somebody's praying for you. Let me see. Praise God. And also, thank them. Because they're giving. They're giving of their time. They're giving of their energy. They're giving of their spiritual life on your behalf. They're interceding for you. May there be a lesson in it that says, I need to be that kind of giver. I need to be that kind of prayer. I'm always amazed that we will... How many prayer things do you do every week? How many? Prayer things? 80? Yeah, so 80 copies of that? I'm amazed at how many we have left over. I mean, just stacks of these that are left over. We print them off in anticipation. You got to care. You got to love. You got to be concerned. You've got to have the giving heart to want to pray for people. Prayer is work. I said prayer is work. It's effort. And you can't do it grudgingly. It just doesn't work. Well, God, I don't want to be here, but I've got to pray for Gene. Oh, there's wailing that goes on there, brother. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This one's in the New International Version. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. It's a natural law that is at work in our world, sowing and reaping. Sow generosity, folks. Sow a giving spirit, and you find that it will come back. John 13:12, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Jesus is down, just having washed the disciples' feet. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I don't know that he expects all of us to peel off our shoes and to be dipping feet into water as much as having the heart that is willing to go to the basis, to go to the very basics, and to wash one another's feet, to where your needs, Gary West, your needs are in my heart. You say, but oh, I've got so many things that I'm dealing with. Yeah, maybe too many. If you're unable to take on the responsibility and the needs of someone else. You know, well, let me give you the biblical model. In Proverbs 3:9, the scripture says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Let me teach you a principle of first fruits. give first. I believe that a true Christian, one who has Christ alive in their heart, gives first. They will always want it to be a first fruit to the Lord. Give first to the Lord. Now again, let me just lead you away from the money. Because your greatest asset in today's realm is your time. Can you, without begrudging, give the Lord the first fruits of your time? Or do you struggle against it? Is there a tension against giving him first? Oh Lord, you know, when I get everything done today, you know my schedule, you know my calendar, you know it. God, I know when I get down to the end of this, I'm sure I'll spend some time with you today. Guess what? It'll very seldom happen, if ever. Because your panic of life will ever keep you from having enough time to really spend time in the presence of the Lord. On the other hand, if you put him on the front side, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is giving the Lord the first fruits of our time. On and on and on. The first of the day, the first of our knowledge, the first of our talents, the first of our relationships, and the first of our income, and the first of our strength. Did he not say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? And how often do we say, Lord, here's what's left. You know, Lord, I'm so tired. More than likely, you weren't tired when you started. So first fruits. And then, of course, all of us know this word, tithe. Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It wasn't the law. Yes, it was affirmed in the law, but it was not the law. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Jacob tithed when he set the altar up before the Lord. If you make this a law in your life, it will be heavy and too heavy to carry. It was practiced by the Israelites when they were faithful to the Lord and forgotten when they were not. It was always abandoned, one of the first things that they abandoned when they turned away from the Lord. Malachi 3, verses 9 and 10 talks about that. Why have you robbed God? How have we robbed God? You've robbed him in your tithes and offerings. So it's a very real thing. I would challenge you, though, because we kind of get stuck there, and I've mentioned this to you before when I've preached on giving. You know, we'll get offering envelopes in sometimes that have, you know, $20.32. Nothing wrong with any amount of giving, but if someone has sat down with a calculator to figure out, I don't want to give God $20.33 because that's not the tithe. A heart of giving will at least round up. Come on, folks. Now, isn't that true? I mean, are we really that intense over this thing that we're going to only give God 10% because we see the tithe recognized in the scripture? Tithe means 10% for those who maybe didn't realize that. a heart of giving. A heart of giving releases. The only restraint, I say it again, the only restraint is in terms of how much can I give and have something left. Jesus even encouraged it, Matthew 23, 23, when he is accusing the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, you've given up on the necessities and you've forgotten it all. Tithe he included there. And that really is the last mention of the tithe, because it seems the Apostle Paul picked up a whole new wave by those who were walking around with the Spirit of God inside of them. He became aware that those who belong to the Lord are givers. I can say this morning with all confidence. If you do not have a giving spirit, you need to really get down before the Lord, because there's a problem in your connection. Because, see, our Lord Jesus is a giver. So if his spirit is in us, then there will be a giving spirit. And it will not be just in your money. But you'll see it in every area of your life where you need to give the Lord the first fruits and quarter some off. Give to God. Ezra talks about a different kind. It's called a free will. Ezra is organizing the goods to be taken from captivity back to the promised land. And he said, you as well as these articles are consecrated to the Lord. The silver and gold are a free will offering to the Lord, the God of your fathers. When the Lord sends a blessing your direction, what do? You know, when the state decides that they've messed up and they send you a check for some reason, I got a $125 check from the government. I never did figure out, maybe I wasn't hearing something, but I got one from the state of Indiana, and I never did figure out what it was for. What's that? Surplus? Cool. I mean, they can send me one all that they want to. I did not send it back. But we all get blessings like that along the way that we're not expecting. A utility that sends money back to us. You know, you say, well, you know, I've already paid my tithes before on this, and I already gave money to the Lord, so now I can just take and spend that. Yeah, sure you can. But a giving heart says, you know what? I wasn't expecting this. I'm just so thankful that the Lord has sent this in my way. Or maybe something, bringing this back to time, something that you thought you were going to have to do clears out of the way for whatever reason, and now you have some time left, and you get to decide, how am I going to spend that time? A free will offering to the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to sit here for a couple of moments, and I'm going to spend that time in his presence. Huh? I don't know, maybe this is real life for some of you, and maybe it's totally foreign to others, but this is the way the Word of God has laid it out for us. Oh, I can tell you about Jeremiah 33:11, where he talks about the thank offering. Ever give an offering to the Lord just out of thanks? The voices of those who bring thank offerings to the whole house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. To realize the blessings of the Lord, to see what he's done in your life, and to say, you know what, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to give to the Lord. I want to bless his kingdom. I want to bless his house. C.S. Lewis said it in this way, and kind of tends to what I was saying a moment ago. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. Honestly, when you get a giving spirit alive inside of you, The only constraint that you will feel is how much can I give and still have enough left over to take care of my life and my family. And again, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time and strength and effort. The biblical manner of giving goes like this. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this? Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Say, Pastor, that's the fourth time you've read that scripture. Because it's something that we need to realize. Generously, generously. Why don't you say that this morning? Say generous. What is God wanting out of me as his child? He wants me to be generous. I already mentioned to you, freely you have received, freely give. I like Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, Acts chapter 3. Silver and gold have I none, but what? Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the man rose up and went walking and leaping and praising God. We've even sung songs over that. So again, see, there may not be all the finances to be able to give, but what can you give? And a heart that is full of giving and generosity will look for those opportunities. Occasionally, I will have somebody come along and they will say, you know, Pastor, I really don't have the finances, but I want to be able to give to the Lord. What can I do? Is there something I can clean? Is there something that I can do? Because I want to give to the Lord. See, that's the heart. That's the heart of a believer. Now here's where we pull it in. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. You will find all throughout Scripture that the reality is that God does not call upon us to give what we do not have. His design upon your life and my life will always be within our capability of giving. So when he puts something on your heart, whether it's to give a phone call to somebody, when you're in the midst of your dizzy-mizzy day, how many have those dizzy-mizzy days? And all of a sudden the Lord says, you need to give such and such a person a call and just check on them, give them some words of encouragement. You have a choice right there. You say, but oh Lord, I'm so busy. Realize the Lord would not ask you if he did not have a way of preparing a blessing over your day. That time that you invest, when you sow it, the Lord promises you will reap from it. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Paul told them, he says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That speaks of a regular. In other words, establish patterns of regular giving in your life. That is one way that you and I can grow, if you will, train ourselves to be givers. Now again, let's take it out of the money. Inconsistency is really breaking the back of the church. Not just this one. You know, somebody said to me this morning, Judy back there told me, you know, she said the church everywhere is struggling since COVID. It is. You know why? Because of inconsistency. People have reorganized in a different rhythm of life and everything since COVID. And it's affecting the effectiveness of the church. Just being regular and consistent in your giving of your person can have a tremendous impact. If you're a Sunday school teacher, that you can be counted upon to be there and to minister to your students. Whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, to be regular and consistent. You see, that's a form of giving. And when we draw a circle around our time and our lives and we say, well, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want to within, yes, you are. But a giving heart says, I need to be regular, I need to be consistent in this. You believe this, I'll say amen. I'm almost done. Actually, I am done. I was probably done 10 minutes ago. I conclude with this one. Every man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can't give for Pastor Bill. It just won't work. Can't give because you're supposed to. There's no joy in it. It has to change in your heart, in your attitude, and then look out. Because all of a sudden, you'll begin to see your capability of giving way beyond money. Really. And it's exciting. It's truly exciting. When the Lord lays somebody on your heart and you give them that phone call, even though you're crazy busy, you don't have time, but you stop. You're on my heart. Are you hurting today? Can I pray for you? Guess who really gets blessed? Man, it comes right back to you. It comes right back. And then all of a sudden, things start working out even better in that terrible schedule that you have. It all seems to flow together. Now, can I tell you, not all the time. Sometimes there's sacrificial giving. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you give, and there's something down inside of you wishes you could have it back. No, honestly. Not just money, again, time and all these things. Sometimes you think, oh my goodness, I gave, but I'm sure not getting it back. Hold on. Not every crop comes in the same day that it's sowed. The blessings of the Lord come back as we need them. So it may not come right in this moment, but his blessings will come flowing back according to his seeing the needs in your life. One of the grandest opportunities that we have as Christians is to be a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. Come on. I owe everything to him. Do you? Yes. Father in heaven, help us today. As we conclude this service here at this table, help us to hold these elements in our hand and be cognizant once again, reminded once again that you gave it all so that we could have the glory and the majesty and the presence and the future that only you could give us. Help us, O Lord, to not just have random acts of giving in our lives, but to have an attitude of giving, looking constantly for an opportunity to give time, strength, yes, and even finances. Because you promised, Lord, that when we give generously, you would return that blessing back to us generously. Help us today, even as we take this communion, to realize we are the recipients of a giver, our Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Greg Taylor, would you help me this morning? I'll give you an opportunity to serve communion, brother. Let's see. Steve Haverly, would you help me this morning? I'm going to have these men stand up here in the front with the trays, and if you would come up along with myself and take the elements, hold on to them, and then we will take them together to conclude the service today. Just stand at the head of the aisle. Just stand there and they'll come to you. Everyone stand and come right on up and give us an opportunity to serve you today. Need to say a thank you this morning also to our ladies that put all these little pieces of bread into these cellophane wrappers so it'd be sanitary for you. Thank you, ladies. You hungry, brother? Bless you. Bless you. Trouble with three cups. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
Bless you, brother. Steve. Praise the Lord. You know, we can talk about giving, but really, honestly, it's something. To know the real value of giving, you just have to experience it. I think about how Paul described the blessing of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." If you go on down there in Philippians 2, he says, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name." Oh, church, let me tell you something. You know, the greatest thing that you and I can be called as a Christian If people are saying that in earnest, that they see Christ-likeness in us, and one of the most beautiful displays of that will be the giving of our lives to others. You know as well as I do, you know those people in your life that are stingy, self-centered, just want to take for themselves. You don't really want to be around those kind of people. Maybe you have to be around them by necessity, but you draw back from them. But those who are givers, what do you want to be close into them. Because it's just the Spirit of Christ. We hold in our hands these elements, this bread that represents the broken body of Jesus and this cup, his shed blood. He didn't have to go through this for his own sake, for the sake of the Father. He didn't have to do this. He did this because he was a giver. And can I tell you, he is a giver. Father, I thank you this morning that you sent us Jesus, who was willing to walk the road and live a sinless life. I'm amazed by that. But then he comes down to the end with a sinless life, and he took on all the sins of all mankind and allowed them to be nailed to a cross. And he surrendered his life so that all men could be free. What a model. What a model of giving. That you have a display that you have put on before us. Help us, O Lord, those of us who are trying to be Christ-like, to realize the value of giving today. And may we remember what Jesus did for us. As we take this bread, may we be reminded a giver gave his body for me. In Jesus' name, church, take the bread. Lord, we thank you for the cup this morning. This cup of redemption, your blood. But we also thank you for the covenant that it seals, the relationship that it seals with you. You said, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my death until I come. We're honored this morning to take these few moments to give them to you, to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing your blood to be poured out, and it's still flowing today, still covering over the sins, still providing protection and ministry. Help us, O Lord, to allow our lives to be poured out. To be poured out as a blessing to you and to your kingdom. And may the honor that we sense this morning of being called believers be sealed with our giving. In Jesus' name, church, take the cup today. Praise you, Lord. Please stand with me if you would. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something, but don't do it if you're reluctant or if you don't want to. But if it's in your heart, I would like for you to be deliberate this morning as you leave this house to be kind, to be encouraging to someone else. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to put somebody on your heart and in your mind. Just as an act of obedience as a believer, that you would try to get around and find that person and just tell them they're loved. tell them, that you're going to pray for them to have a good week. Just give them a word of encouragement this morning before we leave this house. How many think that'd be a Christian thing to do? All right, Father in heaven, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would lay some soul upon our hearts, that you would give us an opportunity this morning to release this message into action, that we would give a word of encouragement to someone here. Show us who we need to go to. And as we release this giving spirit in this house, may you be glorified in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thanks for being with us this morning.